I have a question. I have a question. How much of this stigma that we are so powerful is our fault? Why I ask this question is because I find that we, you know, that what you were saying about racial stigma earlier is that we just put our head down and we never talk about our problems. We never let anybody know what's going on. And so we're so used to, you know, I just saw a couple of posts on Instagram, like, since 1984, 15, 16 or 17 out of 30 of the gold medals won in the Olympic races, the women Olympic races, were won by Jamaican women. And, you know, there's this stigma of greatness and, you know, especially I find with black women are strong, black women are this, black women are that. But it's only now that, especially on social media, we're talking about vulnerability and weakness. And I'm wondering, like, how much of the accountability for that do we have to take on ourselves? Because, you know, it's okay to say that, okay, they have, but when do we say, you know, we've also done damage to ourselves, and we've also perpetuated the stereotype that we're super strong and we're invulnerable and we're this and we're that.
So, and we've done it to each other as well.
Exactly.
We continue to. I think the, I guess, not so easy answer to that, Kim, is if we can get out of this idea of survival mode, then we can understand that we're doing it to ourselves. But a lot of us are still in survival mode, and I'll explain that for everyone. The idea of survival mode is that we are just existing to survive. We are surviving the day in and the day out, and we are doing these things to protect ourselves that might not be so healthy for ourselves, but we're doing these things to protect ourselves. And because we're in this mode of, I need to protect, we just continue going on having to protect, whether it's protect from emotional, from fears, from vulnerabilities, from struggles, or from physical. It's the, I need to put my head down and just go through. If we can get out of this survival mode into what I call this healing mode, then we can start to be more self-reflective and more self-aware and have some more insight that this thing that I am doing, whether it's I'm telling everyone, no, I'm fine, I'm okay. This thing that I'm doing, I'm actually not okay. I'm actually causing myself more harm because I do need help. I cannot always be okay, but it takes a certain frame of reference, certain mindset, a certain level of insight and self-awareness and the ability to reflect on yourself to get there, right? So in order to really answer that question, it's the throwing the question back out. Where are you at in your healing journey? Are you in survival mode? Are you in healing mode? Are you thriving? Are you going forward? Where are you? And that's a hard question for a lot of people to answer. Right? Because a lot of us are still in the survival mode on some certain levels.
And that ties into the post-traumatic slave syndrome, right? Where we're still in this thing of, like, our ancestors have been slaves and they had to do all of this stuff to survive, and that was passed down in generations. It's almost like in our DNA, it's ingrained in us to react a certain kind of way and to do things in a certain kind of order. Don't show weakness, don't show too much strength. I remember Joy DeGruy Leary.
To be the ultimate sacrifice.
And that's what's been happening with a lot of us black women, right? The idea of, like, yeah, this post-traumatic slave syndrome and how it equates back to racial trauma. The racial trauma is not only a feeling. There's, like, the visceral feeling of it, but it also does. There's been research out there that's talking about how it changes our DNA. If you think about it, the way in which that our great-grandparents raise our grandparents and how our grandparents raise our parents and raise us, a part of that raising and rearing has been based on some fears.
Yes.
So now it's inherent that, oh, I have this fear of, I don't know where it comes from, but I have this fear of, it's literally changed the way that I've been living and walking and what I've been approaching and what I've been eating and what I've decided to do. It's changed a bit of me, right? So that idea of the racial trauma, how it's literally changed our DNA going forward, it has. And that's why a lot of us are stuck in survival mode. Because we're trying to mitigate the fears of, maybe they're fears that are real for us right now, but also maybe they're fears that are from past. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's recognizing, how can I get to a place of awareness to be reflective and to understand that, hey, this fear that I have, this fear I have of asking for help, it comes from that understanding that I had to be strong, I couldn't show weakness and everything. But what I was doing at that time was harmful because I was not able to validate what I'm feeling at that time. And now I'm trying to work on that, right? Being able to move through that. And that's hard for a lot of people. And then it attaches back to our earlier conversation around the mental health stigma.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Natasha Pennycook, who is a psychotherapist. We do have to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
When you tell your girlfriend, get changed, you're dressed like a tramp. Change your password so I can see your messages. When are you going to change your mind, you stubborn idiot? Change your attitude when you talk to me. Change your friends. You better change your tone of voice. It's not up to her to change. It's up to you. Violence against women stops now. Talk about it. Do something about it. And call SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
We are back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm on the air with
Renee Jordan. And we are speaking to psychotherapist Natasha Pennycook. And this show has just been, we've just been knocking out gems and throwing out all sorts of things out there and words that we need to jot down and look at later on. But you were mentioning just before the break, you know, we need to know where we're at. And once we know where we're at, then we can decide how to project from there. So once you've come to that realization of the past and what's going on, the things that are moving us, and the way that perhaps we've been navigating the world in an unhealthy manner, what do we do? Where do we go? Like, where do we move forward so we can get to that area of enlightenment, or that era where we can go through life feeling a little bit lighter and not carrying the bags of slavery and the traumatic DNA and all those stuff that we have from everything that has happened?
Yeah, I think one of the places to start is recognizing who you can go to for help, right? Where you can go to for support. And I know earlier we spoke about historically our people, our ancestors, our parents have gone to church, right? Or to their religious institutions to get the help and support. I have a colleague here in the Toronto area who has been doing a lot of work about talking about how mental health in the church, in mental health is the church's business. I think that what we need to do as a community, we need to be talking about mental health and regulating it and talking about and normalizing it, right? Having sermons about mental health, or having, you know, after church talks about mental health and what's going on, because people in our community are struggling. It's just that a lot of times people don't feel that anyone's going to see them or hear them or acknowledge them, or even to give them advice, as opposed to, oh, you're crazy, or someone did warfare on you, or all of that, right? And being able to connect, right? Maybe that's the word I want to use. Being able to connect that, you know what, the church or other religious institutions have a place in mental health alongside therapy. I think we got to start changing, as opposed to people saying, no, you need to pray more and everything. Yes, prayer has been helpful for tons of people. Let's not take that out. But how can we use it also in conjunction with therapy or other ways to find healing, right? Because I always say to my clients, even though I'm a therapist, therapy one-on-one in the room is not the only healing modality. It's not the only form of therapy. You have dance therapy, you have art therapy, you have exercise. You have so many different modalities that really can help you as well. How do I now find a good fit, right? Not only a good fit for a therapist, which is important, but also a good fit of what works for me, what's helping me, what's really helping me heal, whether it's a art class or whether it's an exercise class or something like that.
You know what? I've never thought of that, but I do think exercise is a form of therapy.
100%. Our mental health and our physical health are interconnected. They are not two separate things. I used the word silo earlier. They're not two siloed entities, right? They're the same thing on, like, opposite sides of the same coin, as they say. So what impacts our physical health will impact our mental health, and vice versa. They impact each other. When you exercise, you start to feel good, right? You start to feel really good.
The endorphins, the oxytocin.
You're running, you're feeling really, really good. So a lot of times, what is going to impact your physical health and make you feel good is also going to impact your mental health and make you feel good. And there's tons of research out there on the interconnection between our physical health and our mental health.
And so let's say the person who's like, well, how is talking about my situation going to help? How is it going to change it? Like, if we're just talking about racism and we're talking about trauma and we're talking about slavery, I can't change the past. How will it help me?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard that many, many times. There's this thing called embodiment of trauma. So what that means is how the body, our body, our physical cells, holds on to certain things, right? Mm-hmm. And this idea is that when things happen to us and we don't have a chance to pass it through, it sticks in certain places in our body. And everyone has experienced this, even if it's like you have to do a presentation or something and you're feeling really tense, right? Your shoulders are up here, you're feeling really tense. once you talk about it, maybe you talk to the person next to you, like, oh, I have this presentation today, I'm really nervous to do it. And you start, then you're like, oh, I actually feel better now that we had a chance to talk about it. I don't feel so tense and everything. The reason why you start not feeling tense is because you found a release for that nervousness, for the anxiety, for that worry. Same thing with talk therapy. How do I find a safe space to release what it is that is bothering? Mm. What is it that is causing me some anxiety or worry or fear?
Or some dis-ease within the body.
Or some dis-ease within the body, exactly. And I think for us as a community, and I always say this, us as a Black community of Black communities, we come from very verbose environments. We come from very expressive, I'm going to use my hands and my whole body to talk, right?
Yeah.
So talking is actually a form that we are comfortable with. If you actually really think about it, it's something that we're really comfortable with. But we're not comfortable going to individuals who we feel are going to reject or feel judged and things like that. So it's so important for us as a Black community or Black communities to be able to connect with people, build a relationship with people where there is trust.
Right.
This is why for myself in my practice, everyone knows I work highly from an ABR and anti-Black racism lens because I'm very aware that the Western modalities, the Eurocentric modalities, don't always work for us as racialized peoples.
Yeah.
Right. So I can say, okay, you want to come talk about spiritual warfare in our therapy session? Fine, let's do that. Let's talk about how the spiritual warfare can be connected to those negative thoughts, how they're driving the isolation, and what's going to help. Okay, prayer helps you. Amazing. Get your prayer warriors on the phone. We're gonna like hammer it out and see how they can help. Because I recognize there's a connection from our mental health, but also from a cultural aspect. We have to be very open as therapists, as practitioners, as those who work in the healing fields, that we cannot rely on these Eurocentric modalities to help us as racialized folks. We can't.
That is big. And we were talking to you before, and you actually are licensed in the Toronto area. So for some of our listeners, you won't necessarily be able to help them in office, but you do have a lot of online content that is free of charge.
It's free 99.
If you could just let people know where they can find you and perhaps where they can find maybe somebody like you here, or where to begin.
Yeah. So where to begin? Let's do that, right? The where to begin is important. I actually wrote an article for blacklove.com. Some of you might be familiar with Black Love. So they also have an online magazine, blacklove.com. I wrote an article on there called How to Find a Therapist That Fits for You. I've been telling everyone, start there, because I break down and I give tips and questions that when you're looking for someone, you have to interview them, okay? It's okay to interview people in the healthcare profession because you have to go in from the mindset that I am advocating for myself. I want the best person that's going to be a fit for me, who's going to understand me. I'm going to interview them. So in that article, I give a whole list of questions of what to ask, who to ask when you're looking for a therapist. So start there. I guess other places that you could find me, I am very active on social media. So Instagram, LinkedIn, on Facebook, you can find me at Natasha Pennycook. Also, I do the psychotherapy, one-on-one therapy, but I also do a lot of corporate workshops as well, right? People have been looking for corporate wellness workshops. I've done different workshops for individuals talking about workplace racism, workplace trauma. So I'm definitely available. That's globally doing that. Different speaking engagements. I'm here with you today or this evening. I've been doing other speaking engagements right around the world. But for the one-on-one therapy, right now I am registered in the Ontario area. So, you know, there's different ways to get in touch with me, different ways to work with me. If you do want to do one-on-one, I am working only with those in the Ontario area. And right now I have a waiting list that I'm hoping to open maybe in September. But as you know, right, with COVID and then with all the racial trauma, people have been looking for a psychotherapist, so my waiting list has been quite long, but I'm hoping to open it up again in the fall.
And just so if someone is looking for you, it's NATACHA Pennycook.
Yes,
so you can look for that on Instagram. And if you click the link in the bio, you can have the link to the article with the 10 steps on how to find a therapist, what questions to ask. Is that something that a therapist would normally charge for, that consult?
So you know what I say to people? Ask for a free 10-minute consult. Like most therapists that I know in my network would say, sure, no problem. Or if you even wanted a longer consult, but you're open to pay for it, you can do an hour consult and kind of check them out. See where they're at, see if they understand. But some of the questions, definitely ask, you know, whatever it is that you are struggling with, ask. Have you ever worked with anyone who has this issue, who has similar issues?
Yes.
What are your views on racism or racial trauma, anti-Black racism? Right. I also do consultation for other therapists, and I've had some of my white identified colleagues come to me and do consultation around, you know, I'm working with someone from this community. What do I do? What do I say? How do I work around intersectionality and identity? And I've been doing a lot of that work as well. So I do that as well. So anyone looking for me, I also have a website. I keep forgetting about that. I do have a website that's up. So NatashaPennycook.com. Really easy to find me there as well.
Nice. Well, thank you for joining us. That was a quick snippet, a really like juicy meat and potato snippet of everything that you could possibly offer to us. And I encourage people to go and look at Natasha's Instagram. It is loaded with gems. And those 10 questions are really deep questions to ask someone if you want to connect with them on a level that they can actually help you to solve the problems that may be troubling you.
Yeah, thank you.
I would also add to that, follow your gut. Follow your gut when you're feeling it, go with it. If you're not feeling, just say no. Say no. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, I just want to jump in and add to what you were saying, Kim. Follow your gut. And if you're already in the process of therapy with someone and your gut is like, it's okay to bring that up. It's okay to bring that up. And it's okay to say, you know what? I don't think this is working. I want to find someone else. That's okay.
100%. Thank you so much, Natasha, for giving us your time. We know you're really busy. Even though it's a pandemic, you've managed to continue to thrive in your field. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, unfortunately, this is the end of the show. But fortunately, you can listen back to the archives on ckut.ca/archive. The whole show will be up at 8:31. Thank you so much for being here with us, Natasha. Thank you all for listening. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I've been on the air with
Renee Jordan.
And you have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Whose data? Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Kumbit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at kumbit.org or email at info@kumbit.org. That's KOUMBIT. We are not on Facebook.
Spread your wings.
One-stop Caribbean cuisine for the best in Caribbean dishes. Come visit us and enjoy our specialties such as oxtail, jerk chicken, roti, and many more. Ask about our $8 lunch special on any chicken plates from Tuesdays to Fridays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Also try our famous crispy fried chicken dipped in our special barbecue sauce. You can order online through your preferred restaurant apps or call 514-365-3636 or enjoy a 10% discount on all in-store pickup. This don't don't apply to promotions. We are located at 334 Saint Jacques in Lachine. Visit us today. One stop Caribbean cuisine. Chef X, new location. Blessing up a flow like a
river. Sarah Patties is on a fast break with Veggie Patty leading the charge. The pass is down deep to Goat Patty. Goat Patty passes baseline to Beef Patty. Beef Patty shoots from downtown at the buzzer. And bingo! It's in! It's in! Carob Patties wins the game and is now the world champions! The number one in Montreal. Come on down to 9550 Jean Milot in LaSalle for the best patties, roadies, jerk chicken, and more. Or call us at 438-387-4004. Carob Patties, the champions of Montreal.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal. Everybody listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM CKUT.
Ceai să mă adormi în nopțile de mai la umbra unui tei să ne iubim.
Ce drăguț ești.
Eu te văd felul principal, dar gustul tău e puțin amar. Nu știu dacă pot să te îndulcesc. Ai venit să-și ceri iertare, știu. Curios ce ai azi în meniu. Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Nu ești de măritat, e clar. Dar mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Să te iubesc acum, cred că e în zadar. Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Nu ești desert, ești ceapă clar.
lăsa să mă degust oricând. Dar tu vrei doar ceva pican și uneori e un pic stresant că nu știu cum pot să te mulțumesc. Ai venit să cer iertare, știu. Sunt curios ce ai azi în meniu. Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Nu ești de măritat, e clar. Dar mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Să te iubesc acum, cred că e în zadar. Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Nu ești desert, ești ceapă clar. Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Să te iubesc acum, cred că e în zadar.
Știu că-ți dau dureri de cap. Știu că știi că oricum ar fi de plac. Din ceapa ce o guști, tu extragi mereu dulceața ta. Nu poți mânca desert și la prăjit dimineața ta.
Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Nu ești de măritat, e clar. Dar mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Să te iubesc acum, cred că e în zadar. Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar. Nu ești desert, ești ceapă clar. Amar, să te iubesc acum, cred că e în zadar. Mi-ai lăsat un gust amar.
Poate e un pic mai greu când ești singur. Poți să mă chemi când ești singur. Știi că mă găsești mereu când ești singur. Poți să mă chemi.
Aș vrea să o văd iar o zi, o oră măcar. Hai spune-mi cum ai putut să o iei cu tine unde ea nu a vrut.
M-a lăsat fără nopți, n-aș cerși. Dacă n-aș ști că pot să dai timpul înapoi acum și să pot să-i spun: stai, stai, nu pleca. Dar de să fii așa, eu te voi păstra în vise. Eu nu mai am ce da, te-aș ascund în lumea mea ca să pot să mai am vise.
Te-ascund în vise, te-ascund în vise, te-ascund în vise.
Parfumul ei, hainele, cu puzele ei, camere. Cu viitorul care n-a venit, dar cu prezentul n-avem nimic. Tu-mi furi nopți, da, dar eu pot visa și cu ochii deschiși să ating, să sărut, să cuprind și să-i spun iar și iar. Stai, stai, nu pleca. Dar de să fii așa, eu te voi păstra în vise. Eu nu mai am ce da, te-aș ascund în lumea mea ca să pot să mai am vise.
Te-ascund în vise, te-ascund în vise, te-ascund în vise.
Și o să stau să-i deschid, mi-e frică. E un vis să te ascund.
De acolo nimeni nu te va lua, acolo nimeni nu ne va schimba. Atâta timp cât ochii sunt închiși.
Te ascund în vise, te ascund în vise, te ascund în vise.
Decât dacă îmi dai somnifere și cum nu iau pastile camarero, dă-mi o bere. Beau în cinstea soarelui că mi-a fost dur de el și el bea în cinstea mea fiindcă o arde la fel. Am hibernat ca ursul toată iarna, mutrei ședința la Constanța. În sfârșit a venit vara, dimineață mac mureală, dă-i cu sana, umple cana. Că un weekend la Mamaie e cât un sezon la Varna, frații mei. Moldova, Ardeal sau București, cu bani puțin sau mulți, cu toți o arde în Costinești. Paharul sus ne-a, că mie-mi place să dorm. Aha, nu de altceva, dar eu vara nu,
eu vara nu dorm, vara nu dorm. Nu v-am so, nu v-am so. Zori zile mă prind, cum pe plajă mă plim, pentru că vara nu dorm. Eu vara nu dorm, vara nu dorm. Nu v-am so, nu v-am so. Zori zile mă prind, cum pe plajă mă plim.
Și nu am nicio vină că vara ochii mei sunt sensibili la lumină. Sensibil văd pe nașul, pun pariu că se combină. Domnul controlor și-a dat și de salarină. că mă îndrept către mare. Cu șapca întors în cap și cu Adidas și în picioare. În bagaj am două țoale lângă banii de casare. N-am nevoie de o busolă că mă las ghidat de soare. Și jur că m-aș băga la somn să-mi rulez filmul pe șeslong. Dar spune-mi cum ai vrea să dorm când am în spate o gașcă întreagă care strigă rapping on. Iar nu dorm, nu am somn. Zori zilei mă prind, cum pe plajă mă prind, pentru că vara nu dorm. Eu vara nu dorm, nu am somn. Zori zilei mă prind, cum pe plajă mă plimb, pentru că vara nu dorm. Eu vara nu dorm, vara nu dorm, nu am somn, nu am somn. Zori zilei mă prind, cum pe plajă mă plimb, pentru că vara nu dorm. Eu vara nu dorm, vara nu dorm, nu am somn, nu am somn. Zori zilei mă prind, cum pe plajă mă plimb, pentru că vara nu dorm.
There's a place in Miami where to hear your soul. I feel the glass with your deepest hope. Where the faces have no name, I feel like I'm home. There's a beach in Miami when the sun is gone. You dance in the sand and you're not alone. There's no faces and no name, I feel like I'm home.
tot în ce-am crezut. M-ai întors toată lumea pe dos, dar ai făcut-o frumos. M-ai dat inima peste cap, m-ai făcut plinul de fluturi în stomac, dar timpul i-a luat. Și mă întreb doar la mișto așa, dacă ar fi ieșit ceva, dacă pe gânduri nu aș fi stat, dacă de tot nu m-ai uitat. Nu mă voi putea ierta, viața e ciudată, nu-i așa? Spune-mi cum de am ajuns invitat la nunta ta.
Sarah's excited to celebrate her birthday at a restaurant. She's thought about it all week. She invited her friends. She got a new dress. She went to the restaurant. She wasn't allowed in the restaurant. She had to put away her new dress. She couldn't see her friends. And she thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. A vaccination passport is now required to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Good evening. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. I'm your host for the next couple of hours, Vishwa Ramakrishnan, playing for you some of my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. To get us started today, we're going down to Memphis to hear the Fieldstones play their own self-titled number, The Fieldstones.
I will leave.